Welcome to the... Really, you're going to cough, right? Oh, God. Welcome to the Kindness Chronicles, where we hope to inject the dope. I'm so rusty. Welcome to the Kindness Chronicles, where we hope to inject the world with a dose of the Minnesota nice that it desperately needs. Here we are again. Old pals Steve Brown and Kevin Gorg. This is John Schweitz, and we're back again, maybe. We're going to do our best to have some rhythm to this Kindness Chronicles thing that we've been trying to do.
Well, at least we started on a high note. That's a really exciting
that
intro.
That was a very professional start. So
right.
That kind of says it all. Good afternoon, gentle people. How are you?
Going great. Yeah, great to be back with you guys. It's been too long. I know in the summer everybody kind of gets pulled in 18 different directions. Now that we're back into the fall here and kind of into a regimented schedule, I'm sure we'll get together more often. And looking forward to more good chats with you guys and hopefully some cool guests.
Yeah, me too. It's been a little bit of a break, but it's been a wonderful fall. I've been loving it. So I've been busy. It's been great. But I miss talking to you guys, and I hope to jump back in and get this thing going again.
This was much easier when you two guys weren't working on a regular basis. You know, I suppose employment is an important part of our personal operations. But so let's do a little rewind. Starting with you, KG, you spent some time at the racetrack. Tell us about that.
Yeah, back into my original role way back first 10 years of from 2000 to 2010, where I'm on the TV side of things on a regular basis, and still get to fill in for Paul Allen when he's gone calling the races, which is something I've done for years. It was great fun, you know, reconnecting with, you know, the trainers and the owners and the jockeys that kind of make the game go. When I was doing my tip sheets, I was kind of more in amongst the fans. Now that I'm back in the paddock, you know, I'm kind of with the people that make the game go, and it's a labor of love, as you know. I have always had a lot of affection for Canterbury and for the people that make it go. So yeah, it was a great summer. I appreciate you bringing that up. It's fun. You know, I've got the horses all summer and the hockey all winter, and those are my two favorite things to watch.
That and your two little dogs. Love watching
them. Yes, Fenway and Brooks, by the way, they're upstairs. They're in the bathroom listening to some local sports radio because I don't trust them to behave for the amount of time we're going to be on here.
Very
I
nice.
I love that it's sports radio. That's really great. Sports,
yeah, you got to keep them educated. There's a lot of important things going on. The Vikings are 4-1 for crying out loud. They're going to have a parade here in town.
Yeah, let's start planning the parade route. Steve, have you ever been to Canterbury? Do you ever go to the racetrack?
I have never seen any races there. I've been out there for a movie shoot one time. I was working on a movie, but otherwise I haven't spent any real time out there. No.
So I
go.
Just,
the three of us should go.
I got to tell you, my whole family and I went out there a couple of weeks ago, wasn't it, KG, a couple of weeks ago.
And yeah.
I'd just like to tell you about the kindness of, one jockey and his horse cutting off another jockey and his horse in the final race of the day. And just rewind. So we're there with my son and his special friend and my daughter and his special friend and Ben, who's looking for a special friend. And then Chrissy and Kevin were there, and our friends Scott and Terry were there, and Becky and I and some other folks. And they had a really good day at the races. They were using Kevin's, you know, taking his advice, and things were just going great. And the final race of the day, nobody really talked to each other about who they were going to put some money. And we were all on house money at this point. So it was really fun. And the way the race went down, KG, maybe you can describe it. Horse number, was it number 3? Apparently cut off horse number 6 and horse, go ahead. Can you rerun that?
So what happened was nobody had talked, but everybody had made these trifecta bets, and you know, in horse racing, there are three referees. They're called racing stewards. And whenever there's any bumping or anything where a horse takes away another horse's lane, we have what's called an inquiry. And the tote board lights up with "please hold all tickets." The stewards are having an inquiry. Yeah, and so these three race officials, and again, it's an odd number for a reason, have to figure out what the decision is, and it's going to be either a unanimous decision or it's going to be two against one. But the bottom line is there was something illegal going on, and this six horse was a crazy long shot.
22 to 1.
It was an 8-horse field. Yeah, this horse was almost 25 to 1. And so as it worked out, the group ended up benefiting from this decision that the racing referees had in their mind. And people made hundreds, yes, hundreds of dollars on said event. And I thought that was pretty cool.
And coincidentally, nobody had mentioned what they had bet. And like Ben, for example, who was already up quite a bit, put $10 on this long shot, 22 to 1, and, you know, ended up winning almost $250 on that one thing. So I would like to just tip my cap to the kindness that was shown by those cheating horse and jockey that cut off the number six horse. And we all had a really flush weekend financially. It was a great time. But, Steve, in all sincerity, next spring we have to go out to Canterbury, because you cannot imagine how much enjoyment and how much what a thrill you can get from a stupid $5 bet. It's just,
I would love it.
It's a lot of fun. And the cool thing is, you know, the racetrack, you know, which we're talking about out in Shakopee, and you mentioned you've been there for a concert, Steve. It used to just be like in the mid 80s, it was very seedy. It was horse racing and gambling only. It's become far more of a family destination. And, you know, throughout the year, beyond the concerts, there's, you know, every Sunday we've got the Pepsi Family Day with the pony rides and the petting zoo and the face painting. And there's dog races, which they run in between the horse races. There's extreme racing with camels and ostriches and zebras. And, you know, there's craft fairs. It's become far more of an entertainment destination. Yeah. And they're in the process of putting in an 18,000-seat amphitheater. So they're kind of reconfiguring where the barns are, where the horses live. And so if you're looking at the racetrack, or if you're out there for a concert and you look beyond the racetrack towards Valley Fair, that far left-hand corner, that's where the amphitheater is going to be. And there's going to be some big-time concerts out there. So to just kind of magnify my point, it really is far more than a racetrack. It's an entertainment destination.
And I think Steve mentioned that he was there for a movie, but thanks for listening closely.
A movie? Now, I don't remember. You were making a movie. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Okay.
Was it the movie with Matt Dillon?
Absolutely. That was the movie I worked on in 2005.
I remember that because I was working out there in the TV department, and it was a really big deal that Matt Dillon was gracing our racetrack. And I watched back the movie, and it's really cool to see them actually at Canterbury. So I should have been listening closer. Thanks for catching that, John.
Yep.
And
for pointing it
out. I do remember that movie.
And Steve, maybe at this new amphitheater, is it amphitheater? How do you say that word? Amphitheater?
Kevin said, because I listened to what Kevin said. He said amphitheater, but I think it's amphitheater. Just amphitheater.
So we're just tearing you up.
Amphitheater.
That's close enough. I was in the ballpark.
Yeah, you're in the right neighborhood. But Steve, maybe with the reunion of the Johnny Clueless band, you guys could book a gig at the amphitheater.
Yeah,
isn't that nice?
That'd be great.
Amplify your product, baby.
Exactly. Amplify that crap.
Amplify. Yes. So
that'd be the plan.
Is the band back together?
The band, gentlemen, has never really broken up or anything.
Oh,
like that.
Okay.
We just stopped playing because of our, you know, we played like such a small handful of dates a year, private party here or there, and we play the Dugout usually once or twice a year, which is this little great bar in Monomedi near White Bear.
It's in Willerney.
Right.
Just to be clear, it's in Willerney, across the street from Monomedi.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Across the street is Monomedi. Yeah. Well, I think Monomedi has an address. Anyway. We don't play that often, and we have not played since March of 2020. We played like March 10th or something like that, right before the world shut down.
Oh,
so that was the last last time we played. So we'll be getting together in November there.
So in the spirit spirit of the Kindness Chronicles, let's go over how this show has gone so far. I rip on somebody for coughing at the very beginning. I lay into Kevin for not paying attention and bringing up that he was here for some concert and it was a movie.
Check.
Lay into Kevin for referring to the amphitheater as an amplitheater. And then I correct you and tell you that the dugout is in Willerney when I really don't know if it is. So I'm an ass.
I think you're showing your Cliff Clavin-ness.
Very Cliff Clavin, and I would just like to apologize for for being the kind of person that I can be at times. I want this, let's make this a fact-based show. Fact-based. Does that make sense? Okay. So I have a fun story. I had reached out to a young man in the Matamidi community to join us tonight. There was a story that was on Care 11 a couple of weeks ago, and essentially the story was about how the captain of the football team had taken this young man, his name is Jameson, under his wing. Jameson, as a senior in high school, decided this was the first year that he was going to play football. They mentioned on the news piece that Jameson had autism, and I called, it was a nice story, and I called this JP's mom and said, do you think JP would want to be on with us on the podcast, Kindness Chronicles? And she said, you know, he is so embarrassed by that story. And I'm like, why? She's like, how often do they have stories on the news about people just being friends with their friends? He goes, it was really weird. And and he was embarrassed by it, apparently, and reluctant to do it in the first place. And I said, you know what? That tells you more about the kid than anything. So he's not on tonight, and he won't be on any night. But JP, I did think it was a really nice story, but you're right.
Can you tell us yet? Tell us what the story is, though. Well, we don't really know.
The story was very simple. This Jameson Melzer is his name. I've known Jameson a long time. He's a nice kid. He's a big guy. He decided, with some prompting from his pals, to go out for the football team. And you know, the Care 11s of the world are looking to inject a dose of oxytocin into the world, so they thought that this was a story that was worthy of a 3-minute news segment. And so they played the story about, you know, how Matamida is, you know, they measure wins and losses not as much as they measure, you know, the way that people treat each other and the type of people that are on the football team, which is kind of BS because we still measure wins and losses, and they're I think 4-1, but it is important. You know, my kids both went through that program, and I know that the head coach, Dave Metzel, is one of those guys who really is sincerely all about the culture and, you know, just people treating each other well. And it's really what the football team is all about. But anyways, JP, who is this stud, he's been a starter since he was a freshman. He's this man-child who probably could play football or wrestling, and he never wrestled before high school, but he was, you know, like made it to the state championship or something. Anyways, the guy's just a freak athlete, but he's just the sweetest kid. And when they went to him and said, JP, we want to do this story about you and your friendship with Jameson, his response was, what's the story?
Why?
Why? You know, he's my friend. Is that a story? And, you know, I just think that says it all. You know, that's the kind of guy you want your people to be, and, you know, humble and thoughtful and kind. And, you know, he can tear up a quarterback like nobody's business. But anyways, I just thought it was really funny. And I said, I was going to tell that story. And I said to his mom, tell him I'm not asking for permission. I'm going to ask for forgiveness. So there you go.
Love it.
No, that's cool. That's what we want. Yeah, that's the kind of stuff we want to highlight. And that's the kind of reaction you'd expect for someone who's just like, no, I mean, that's not a story there. Just I'm doing my thing and everyone should do the same and be kind to people. And, you know, and that's why we want to celebrate that. It's amazing. That's great. It's wonderful.
But while I was talking to Carrie, his mom, I was reminded that Carrie had recently had a very significant health scare. And, you know, Carrie's not in my first circle of friends or probably even my second circle of friends, but we're friendly and know each other a little bit and we're friends on Facebook. And she was in liver failure. Now, keep in mind, this is probably the most fit person you have ever seen, and she wasn't feeling well. She went into the doctor and the doctor said, you need to get a new liver immediately. You have like a week to live. And she's like,
what?
A week to live? She goes, look at these abs. She didn't say that. I said that. She's like, how could a person, I mean, and I'm not kidding you. I think she's a professional trainer. I mean, the gal is the picture of health, but apparently, you know, she had this, this situation and I don't even know if I should be talking about this. That's probably a HIPAA violation, but everybody that was friends with her knew of this story. And she was just talking about how, through social media, through, you know, Caring Bridge and Facebook and those type of things, they were able to give updates. And the words of encouragement that people from all over were providing her in the prayers, she really believes played a significant role in her healing. And the good news is she got the transplant and she looks great. She looked great before, but she looks even greater now.
It was a happy ending.
But I think we should have her on at some point because that type of kindness and that type of the prayerfulness that comes when a person is struggling with a health challenge really can have a significant impact on the healing process. And so she would like to come on at some point, and even though her son shunned us.
It sounds like an impressive family. They sound like good people. That's cool.
They are very good people. They're very nice. She and her husband look like they came off the top of a wedding cake. He's very handsome.
As you like to say, Schweidy, oh, good,
oh,
for,
good
you.
For you. Put a shirt on. Nobody needs to see your Facebook pictures with your abs. Good God. Anyways, Steve, you've got a new gig in your life. What are you doing?
Yeah, so I work for a telecommunications company called Berktel, and I've been loving it, and it's amazing, and there's nothing sexy about it. It's just a cool place to work and doing great work, and it keeps me really busy, and I'm helping out a lifetime friend of mine. It's his company and his family's company, and I've been jumped in and kind of kicked in with my project management skills. I'm loving it. It's great.
Lovely, lovely.
Yeah, so, and this fall has been, so I, you know, not to mention, once you get, when you're out of work for quite a while, it's stressful and it's really hard to, you know, anxiety and all that stuff. It's really, because I'm productive and enjoying it and I'm, you know, busy, it's really made things amazingly better in my life. So just to be working and I just the fact that they welcome me in, it's amazing. It's great. And we've been living it up this September and August and September. We've been going to see shows and weddings. It's just been a busy fall. It's been amazing. I told you guys about the Red Rock show. We did that in Colorado. Nathaniel Rateliff. I keep talking about that. But then we came back with Michael Bublé in St. Paul, the XL. We saw Jeremy Messersmith, a local singer songwriter, just amazing, on top of a roof in downtown. We saw Big Head Todd and the Monsters in Egan for a big outdoor festival. That was really cool. I've just been seeing a lot of music. It's been great.
Our friend Justin Plouffe, who was on with us, who is he touring with? I saw he was touring with some big name.
I think it's some openers for Dierks Bentley.
Dierks Bentley, that's it.
Yeah.
Wow, I've those seen Dierks in concert. That's a big deal.
Yeah, those guys are really good. They have a great sound, and they're really easy to work with. They're super fun. I think they're gonna if they get ins like that, they will keep going and continue to do really great stuff. It's a great group of people, and they sound amazing.
It sure feels like concerts are back. You know, we had that 2-year hiatus with the pandemic, and I hadn't been to a concert in forever. And this summer, I think it was early August, we went down to U.S. Bank Stadium and saw Kenny Chesney, who's just an unbelievable performer. He's made for a venue like that. But I have to tell you, the atmosphere of the crowd, the sheer happiness people had coming in and leaving that facility, I think, you know, the old saying is you don't know what you have till it's taken away, right? And I think people that enjoy that sort of thing really missed it. And I think now getting back to quote-unquote normal or getting back to doing things like we used to, I think that's one thing that people are really going to enjoy is getting back to going to concerts.
Yeah.
You know, along those lines, the you don't know what you have until it's taken away. I was out for dinner the other night.
You can rip me from my hair now?
No. That's funny. We were out for dinner the other night, Becky and I. And have you guys been to Hazelwood? Or I think it's called Hazelwood.
Oh, love it.
Yeah. So I get up. Hey, oh, my God, Steve, it's fantastic. Anyways, I got this one. We split a meal, which you know I love. I love
That's
splitting.
That's a terrible idea.
I mean, it's just ridiculous. And paired off what I was going to be eating. This is mine. That is yours. You know, what doesn't make sense is I'm twice as big as you, and yet we're splitting this 50-50. I'm just very bothered by the whole mathematics behind it. Anyways, I had to get up and go use the restroom, and she finished my side. You don't know what you have until it's gone. Okay,
what
she didn't do
side?
That. So we got that, the minute chicken, you know, the chicken with the, with the pasta and the... Anyways, I'm kidding. Becky didn't do that. Riley, of course, my daughter would do that. No, I was just kidding.
Is that in Woodbury?
There's one in Woodbury. There's one in St. Louis Park. There's one by the Mall of America. I'm not sure if there are others.
I just heard about it. That's crazy. I just heard about it just today. So yeah, you guys are part of the.
You know what that's called? When you hear something for the first time, like twice in a day, it's called a Bader Meinhof. Did you know that?
No.
I know. There you go. You're welcome.
Well, you are flexing.
I know. I'm Cliff Clavin. I'm going Cliff Clavin on us here.
A lot of facts.
I've been looking so forward to talking to you guys. I've got so many facts to share, and nobody seems very interested. Here's one fact that is fun. So you guys have been to the Masonic Heritage Center. We've got a beautiful, brand-new Jewel Box Theater. And Steve has connected me with a friend of his who is a, would you call him a concert promoter? Is that kind of his, or is he a...
He's a talent agent.
He's
connected with everybody. Yeah, he knows everybody. He's a great, great guy.
He and I are working together to, we're going to put together a concert series that we're going to have out at the Masonic Heritage Center. We're going to highlight a charitable organization that Masonic Charities supports, but it's to give that charity a little more exposure and to just go out and have a good time. I think, Kevin, to your point, it's amazing how much fun people seem to be having with things that we took for granted once upon a time.
Yeah.
No question. Yeah, it feels that way. That concert kind of highlighted that for me. And then just seeing the people out of Canterbury, going back to the racetrack conversation, just all summer long, our crowds were unbelievable. I mean, you know, after a year where we had limited fans and a year where we had zero fans, those 2 years before, to have, you know, kind of the open-ended, you know, attendance, you know, that facility can hold 25,000 people. So we had our biggest crowds we've had in probably a decade. So everybody wants to get back out and be a part of it. And I guess, you know, there's no easy segue, but we talked about this before we started recording. It's political season, and we all talk about those ads, and they're obnoxious and they're over the top, but it is a very divisive time every fall when there's a few elections out there. How do you guys handle that table conversation, whether you're out with friends or at a party? And I try to avoid it at all costs, but it's not easy to do.
I tend to lean in with Sarcasm. Sarcasm. Yes. And, you know, what's really fun for me is when I'm with, like, my real conservative friends, I become a lib. And when I'm with my liberal friends, I'm, you know, I'm a Trumper. And
I love it.
No, I'm teasing. I don't. Well, maybe I do once in a while. Well, but actually, it's funny. Go ahead, Steve. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, I think what's happened, it used to be the case where with certain people in my family and relatives or friends, you can kind of, it's a bit of a sport and you could tease each other a little bit, but I think there's some lines have been drawn. It got a little more intense. So I'm hesitant to tease and play like that because people got a lot weirder and a lot more serious about it. So I pull back and I try to, you know, I'm like, I'm not a conflict guy. I don't love conflict. So I keep it all kind of, you know, on the easy side. But I, in the past, used to tease and go back and forth a little bit with people, but not anymore.
So I have an idea. Why don't we table this topic for next week? Because that'll be really close to the election, and we will break it down. We will provide our insights as conflict averse people. Is that the right word? Conflict averse.
Yeah.
People.
Yeah, I'm in that category.
I know. And you and I. Well, let's save that. We promise to keep these programs to 30 minutes or so. So maybe the next time we get together, we can talk about political matters, and maybe we can find another guest that doesn't want to talk to us. Until next week, gentlemen, off we go.